Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
It's my new hero. American hero right there.
That's your hero?
You ever follow this guy? You ever watch him? You ever see pictures of him out on the beach with his shirt off?
This is
just broing out.
This is University of North Carolina
Tar Heels
head football coach Larry Fedora. Says the game of football is under attack. He was talking at an ACC kickoff event yesterday. So he believed people were using the data, the CTE data,
right,
that links the chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's a crisis going on, not
sure
just
is.
In football, but in sports. We've seen BMX athletes succumb to this, boxers, hockey players, football players.
Soccer
players, right?
We have the audio of this, too, instead of you having to explain it if you didn't know that. So go ahead.
He says people are using the data in hopes of destroying the game. Asked about the changes of kickoff rule in college football. I believe you asked somebody about that yesterday, Zo.
Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater is right here at the brand new Sports Hub Studios yesterday doing some business.
Yep.
With AdCare, and asked about that. And look, without question, changes the game.
Steve Gostkowski has reached out to me, wants to come in to talk about it. They feel that they're trying to completely eliminate the kickoff altogether,
right?
Which is a big part of the game, big part to a lot of guys that are core special teamers. A guy like Matthew Slater has been an outstanding special team guy his entire career, Hall of Fame type. People laugh at that. He's a Hall of Fame special teamer. It's amazing what he's been able to do. But talk to him about it. They're intently trying to change the game and use this data against the players.
Now, this is where Larry Fedora starts to go off the deep end, okay? When he says, A, our game is under attack. And if, can we listen to it again, Jim? Just exactly what you just said there, especially at the end.
I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
There will be decline of our country. There's no doubt.
If you want to,
there's no doubt in my mind. I think because the lessons that you learn in the game of football relay to everything that's going to happen in the rest of your life. And if we stop learning those lessons, we're going to struggle. And you know, I think in some ways we're struggling more now than we ever have. Are we ever going to be a perfect country? No, not by any means. But I do think the game of football has had a major impact on who we are as a country.
That's right. It's men versus men, baby. Football molds boys into being men. I'm kidding here. Now,
yeah, so
he's taking it to a certain extreme here, which is ridiculous.
A certain extreme?
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've heard from a head football coach in a long time.
I want to bring back the wedge. Break up the wedge, man. You want to get someone all tingly in a special teams meet and see who's going to sacrifice their body to break up that wedge.
It honestly makes me wonder, like, how this guy is employed by a major university.
He's talking about seeking and destroying. You want to catch the bad guy. The bad guy's got the ball. You go get him and you knock him out.
He's talking about
kill the quarterback.
The position that the country is in now is going to be made worse if you change the kickoff rule in college football.
Why do we get to bring the country in?
You're changing the kickoff
insanity.
Rule in college football.
Right.
It is going to be the downfall of the United States of America. Any worthwhile American, according to Larry Fedora, understands that they got to be a good patriotic U.S. citizen by playing by the old smash 'em up rules of college football from the back in the old days. That's
okay.
The way to do it.
So we've fixed some
this
things.
Dumbass.
Now, if somebody wakes up and was in a self-induced coma for the last 10 years, you wake up and you see a touchdown scored. Oh my God. Why aren't they kicking it from the 2-yard line?
Self-induced coma.
Self-induced coma.
Yeah. So you put yourself
medically
into a coma.
Self-induced coma. Yeah, if somebody goes in and has an accident.
Or medically induced is different than self-induced.
Or you just drink 20 gallons of this or that, and you put yourself in a self-induced coma.
That's self-induced.
Look at Sarge over there. He's been in one for 10 years.
Easy.
So, I mean, they've done things. They've changed the game. They backed up. And I think that's more of a competition thing. It's not trying to save somebody from being killed. You know, the chip shot PAT, we've eliminated the wedge. You can't wedge block anymore. You can't go down and break up wedges. And Matt Slater talked to me about this the other day. He said, you know, as much as we talk about special teams and kickoffs and that, he goes, we as players cannot wait to see how they're going to police using your head as a battering ram for an offensive player or a ball carrier. He says, you mean to tell me you run a jet sweep on the outside? Here comes two big safeties in to kill somebody. James White can't lower shoulder and helmet into them to protect himself and try and run them over? You going to throw a flag on that? You going to throw a flag on a guy in a jet sweep? What about Leonard Fournette trying to score on the outside? That big back from Jacksonville that you can't tackle. Jerome Bettis, boom, 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 boom. You know?
So, I don't know what they're going to do with the rules. I don't know how they're going to enforce them.
I just don't want to kill this country. I love this country. Don't change the rules to make this country bad.
Well, anybody who wants to change the rules of football.
That's a bumper sticker. Don't change football to make country bad.
Don't change the rules of football to make country bad.
Yes. All right. That thing will sell like crazy. I think Vineyard Vine stickers are everywhere. Where do you see those?
I think down North Carolina. It might sell all right.
Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
Thank you, Sarge.
I love it.
The game.
I'll have all his commentary today as a takeaway because it has been just tragic through the first.
It's been really good. I had a good point on Chris Sale. Right.
You did have a good point on Chris Sale, and he was saying that song.
Thank you. Do it again.
Larry Fedora, North Carolina football coach, saying number one, the game is under attack, and if the game goes down, the country will go down too.
Right.
He also said. That he talked to military personnel.
See, this is where it turns badass. Like, now you're getting input of Navy SEALs and stuff. And like, those suckers, send them babies down. Send those guys to dark at night. Turn lights out in the stadium and let's do a kickoff and just see them.
Bust up a wedge.
Night vision glasses.
Send them down, bust up a wedge. Hell yes. Right?
Hell yes. Fireworks, too.
Fedora said he's talked to military personnel who have suggested the success of the U.S. military was due in part to the number of football players who went on to join the armed forces. You play football, and you go into the Army.
Is he talking about high school kids? Or is he talking about just Pat Tillman?
Is he conducting a scientific study? Did he meet a couple of military guys, say, you play football? Hell yeah, we play football.
We play in Texas.
It's good.
We had 20,000 people watch our games on Friday night. Play in Texas. If Plano, Texas.
My gut tells me that was the extent of his research on this topic. Yeah. Or maybe I'll go so far as to say, oh, yeah, I played high school football. It teaches you a lot about teamwork. And then we go into the military and a lot of that translates. Okay, good. Is playing football and having the rules dictate that you can.
He's dictating a sentence, right?
You can make head-to-head contact and cause concussions. Is that the only way to build teamwork? Is that the only team building exercise somebody can participate in prior to enlisting in the military?
I don't know. I would think there would be other things.
I think there's other things you can do. I'm not sure. Maybe you could play basketball. Maybe you could be on the chess team. There's a lot of different stuff you can do. He says he believes success of the military due in part to the number of football players who went out and joined the armed forces.
Now,
you think this is nuts?
This is one of those old school instructor guys that, you know, it's battle. We go into battle together and we surround ourselves as teammates. And who wants to be in a foxhole with that guy? Who doesn't? Who don't you want on it? It separates the bad guys from the good guys. This guy's got a little wacko in him.
Now, I haven't heard his CTE stuff. I read it over once. Do you want to wait for it, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're up against it.
Let's wait for it. I have a feeling he came to his senses a little bit when he started talking about the CTE because, you know people who have been affected by CTE?
I know people that have died, yes.
It's tragic.
Directly. Kevin Turner. Played with Kevin Turner for a bunch of years.
And it's not just football.
Teddy Johnson. He's really affected by things right now based on the amount of hits and concussions he's had.
Hockey players.
Yeah.
BMX riders. Boxers.
You don't think soccer's out of the woodwork, too.
Soccer is...
you know, for kids. I'm talking about kids. There are more injuries with kids with head injuries in soccer.
Easy.
At the youth level. There are.
I'm talking about documented. Yeah, there's more kids playing soccer than are playing football at the youth level.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Number Guy.
Well, seriously, you start saying that soccer's more dangerous than football.
Feel free to jump
on. Is it?
Yeah. 617-779-0985.
Let's leave it at this. There's a lot of different ways that you can get hurt, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, soccer ball went off my head.
Wait, now you're saying you can't get hurt playing soccer?
Sure you could.
Okay.
If you have a collision.
And I say you can too.
Sure.
You can get hurt doing a lot of different things. The one thing that you really can't throw a whole bunch of shade at is the idea of CTE, because it's real and it's happening. I'm interested to hear, because I've only read, I want to hear what UNC football coach Larry Fedora has to say about that. And we will get to Danny Amendola, too. That'll be coming up. We're going to do that at 11:35 now. So stay with us here. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Ferpito.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I'm going to tell you, the game right now, the game is safer than it's ever been in the history of the game. It is. I mean, it really is. Are there still injuries? Yeah. It's a violent sport. I mean, you've got big, fast, strong guys running into each other. Something's going to give. I mean, but there are risks involved in the game. And everybody that plays the game understands those risks. It's not like they're going into it not knowing that something could happen, you know. And so they have to personally have to weigh those risks versus the rewards, you know. But I believe, there's no doubt in my mind, the changes that we're making year to year for the, you know, the health and safety of our players, the game is safer than it's ever been in the history of the game.
Safer game, weaker country. That's what he's saying, though.
That's what he's worried about, is making it a softer game as we increase the pussification of the country.
Our game is under attack. I fear the game will be pushed so far from what we know that we won't recognize it in 10 years. And if it does, our country will go down too.
Yeah.
Then he says,
trophies for everyone.
Oh, it's safer. Oh, it's safest it's ever been. Yeah, never going to be completely safe. It's a collision sport.
What
it's
is
a violent sport. It's not contact collision sport. But it's safer. Oh yeah, we've done a lot to make it safe for our players. What's the problem then, Larry? What's the problem?
See, my point is, and it always has been, you understand the risks when you're in it. Like, I grew up watching NFL football follies, and you know, the Jack Lambert, Dick Butkus. I like the Bette Davis movie when he rips the head off and rolls it down the stairs. And we would always, you remember when you were a kid, all those highlight videos and follies, it was knockout hits.
It wasn't even when we were kids.
NFL films won't do that.
How long ago did we have Jacked Up as a segment?
Yeah, you got jacked up.
Yes.
That was 10 years
Sarge
ago?
Sarge is fired up. Yes.
That was awesome.
That was one of the best pieces of little synopsis that they've done.
What is it now? Come on, man.
I don't even know.
Yeah, but Jacked Up was awesome.
You got Jacked Up.
Oh, so good.
The NFL.
Man, part of that is in there. You're never going to be able to take that part of it. It's a violent sport. People are in it to hit people. You just have
to
control
the way
you hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are they making
it safer? Take targeting out. I think college football's done a great job. See, he's coaching in college. Part of his risk is now, and what he needs to do as a teacher is have those safeties, defensive players, understand you launch and leave with the crown of your helmet. It's not a 15-yard penalty. You're out of the game. We lose you.
Yeah.
See, football can get to that point
and
where you make it safer. And I don't have a problem with that.
But you understand,
you're getting your head hit when you get into this thing, baby.
We've all watched college football games where a guy's been tossed for the game. We're like, he didn't mean to do that. That's incidental. That's BS.
But it's
that's the game.
Black and white right
that's
there.
The game.
You do it, you're out.
That's the game.
Right.
So, what does he have to say about CTE? Right now, he just said it's safer. Yes, it's definitely safer. It's safer than it's ever been, and they're making it safer. About like the chronic brain injuries, though, what does UNC football coach Larry Fedora have to say about that?
CTE and the football relationship. Kind of clarify exactly where your thoughts are on that.
I don't know if clarification is the right word. It's more about, you know, what I said, and You know, I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes it. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the blows to the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that every sport that you have, football included, could be a problem with that, right? As long as you've got any kind of contact, you could have that. That does not diminish the fact that the game is still safer than it's ever been in the history of the game, because we continue to tweak the game, you know, to try to make it safer for our players.
Continue blows to the head.
We're dancing around it, though. We're dancing around the topic. Simple thing. You take something, hit head, causes head injury. We understand that.
Do it many times. It is now chronic.
But you sign up for it. This is what you play. You signed on the dotted line to go to North Carolina to be a student athlete. You get a full ride, but you are going to play football.
Right.
But we will attempt to increase, you know, developments and stay ahead of the game as far as the equipment, and we'll change helmets. I mean, you've seen the helmet. You've seen the helmet change shape how many times over the years? Brady, this is the last year that he can do, he can wear the old style Riddell helmet that he likes to wear. Like, they're doing away with it. You know?
Isn't it a bigger message, though? Isn't it? Listen, we're doing stuff to make it safer. There's other sports that are causing this, too. What are they doing?
Right.
They're not doing as much as we are.
Because they don't have to.
Hockey
doesn't have to? What about lacrosse and hockey?
Lacrosse has changed the rules, absolutely. Hockey's changed the rules.
Hockey's more of an athletic game now. It's taken the Lucic out of it.
Yes. Hockey's changed their sport. There were more incidents, I believe, Jim, if you look at guys who
suffered. Not just the fighting, though, right? You're talking more than the fighting.
Well, the fighting, the style of the game, the speed of it. The fighting is a huge part of it. Those guys were suffering these tiny, tiny concussions, yeah. You know,
You've gone away from the big body guy.
Many times throughout the course of a season because they were the enforcers, and they're going to go get slammed in the head, and they're going to get bounced around. They're going to get their head bounced off the ice when the helmet comes off at the fight. They don't do that anymore. I mean, very quietly, hockey has taken fighting out of the sport. And let me tell you something. Has the sport suffered? Has your enjoyment of hockey gone down? Mine hasn't. I've been okay with it.
So why are people thinking that football is going to die then?
Because this guy's an idiot. Because Larry Fedora starts speaking. He's got diarrhea of the mouth, and he can't stop himself. And the words just keep falling out. And he's pissed off because he thinks that some liberal somewhere is trying to take hitting out of his beloved sport, and it's going to weaken our country. And if you don't believe me, go ask the military, which is the fallback stance of anybody who's trying to prove themselves smarter, tougher, and more patriotic than you. I know guys in the military, and they'll tell you the same thing. I
love it.
But I think his ultimate point is, like, he's probably a bad person to deliver the message.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
I would get to him and say, you talk less.
So what is the message? Deliver the message in a more intelligent manner. What is his message? Because I, for the life of me, can't figure out other than it's like I don't like people telling me what to do.
It's like we're listening to our president. Just stop talking. Don't talk about your actions. Do your actions. Do what you said you were going to do. Just shut up. Don't talk about
football's it. Football's slowly becoming a more skilled game, just like you said at hockey.
Yeah.
Skilled, you know, quicker, smaller athletes, and it's more skilled.
Yeah,
yeah.
So and football's becoming that, yes. But it's still under attack. It's still under attack. Whereas hockey, as you just pointed out, is not under attack because they've made changes. Football's made changes as well.
Hockey was under attack. They wanted to take the fighting out altogether, and they changed it, and it's okay. Under attack means he's talking about it killing off the sport altogether and it dying.
Yeah, because no matter what they do, people are still hammering it. I think that's his big point. No matter what changes they make, safety changes, rule changes, it's still people pounding on it.
Who does this affect? Who does this affect that he's talking and reaching out to?
Well, here's what he said. He said people, and I don't know if you have this cut. When he declined to say who, he talked about using the CTE data as a means to suggest the risk of playing football was too high. Do you have that quote or not? Okay, I can just read it to you.
So he doesn't like the fact that some guys have donated their brains to science, and then once they pass away, they find issues within the head of those players?
David Hale's piece on ESPN. Fedora said people, he declined to say specifically who, routinely use data on CTE to suggest the risk of playing football was too high. In turn, he said, participation rates in youth football have declined nationally, putting the game at risk. Here's a quote. If you're involved in the game of football, you have to worry about that. Pressed on whether he agreed there was a correlation between football participation, CTE, he said he believed some studies and not others, even though numerous organizations, including the NFL, have acknowledged a connection between concussions suffered while playing football and CTE. The NFL says yes.
Hey,
you
done.
Get concussions, you get CTE. Now Sosie's walking by shaking his head.
Oh, he understands it. I've talked to Bob about this for many discussions. We go down to camp now, and we sit there. We watch these players at camp, and they talk about, oh, the dread of camp, and it just stinks staying in the hotel, and we have this one long practice a day. They have two-a-days every single day back in the day. You know what we did? We actually hit. We had full pads on, full padded practice. We did goal line. We did Oklahoma drill. We tackled people. We go down there now. We get excited for a kickoff drill because that's the only time they hit. They don't hit. They don't have two-a-days. It is camp cushy now for these players, and they still think it's bad. The game has changed. The league is changing it and taking the hits out.
We're going to grab a couple of calls here. Dan in New Hampshire, go ahead.
Dan.
Hey, what's going on? So I've been listening to this, and I got kind of 2 points. First of all, I was in the Marine Corps, and I was in a special unit where we did breaching, and you have explosions and all of that.
Nice.
But going to the point of this NC coach, I think you're right where he's not the guy to articulate the issue. I think he's just saying the pussification of America. Thank you, Zoe, for bringing that word up.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I could use it.
Sure you could.
But he brought, he's talking about the pussification of America. And my daughter's a soccer player. Yep. She's 10 years old. And they're talking about concussions. I'm actually having an appointment tomorrow for an MRI from a neurologist just to make sure that I don't have CTE or anything like that just because of some of the long-term effects of concussions.
Yeah.
But let's not beat the NC coach up too much. I believe, we are becoming a sissy society. Starts at Pop Warner football.
Yep.
I was a 100-pound inside linebacker in high school just because I had no fear, and I was like a human missile. But
my kid's 9. He's 110.
And Dan, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing. And good luck on your CTE screening. What the hell are we talking about?
No, that's a great call.
Yeah,
excellent call.
Sissified. The human missile.
Sissified. I'm going in tomorrow to see if I have CTE.
You should. You should, bud. I don't know if I want you coaching my kids.
Honestly, do your wife and kids want you to have CTE? What are you hoping for?
No,
nobody wants
CTE.
For from your screening? Bob, if you want to come on the air, would you please come on the air? Don't hold cue cards up in front of me.
Hey, buddy.
Everyone's getting on my nerves today, including Bob Sosie.
You know what?
Bob Sosie never gets on anyone's nerves. He just got on mine. Will you join us in 5 minutes? Bob, will you join us in 5 minutes?
We'll take more of your calls. You'll hear from Bob Sosie. Sarge is going to do a Hub headline, and it's more of Zoe and Sissy Boy on the other side.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right. Well, the Celtics and Marcus Smart have agreed to a 4-year, $52 million extension. That, according to Yahoo Sports, they were the first to report that. Smart, 24 years old, was a restricted free agent. At the Open Championship, Kevin Kisner finished the day at 5-under par. He's your current leader. Tony Finau and Erik van Rooyen one shot off the lead. Tiger Woods, 1-under through 3, birdied the first hole. That's the first time he's opened a major championship with a birdie since the 2012 Open Championship. Revolution lost at Minnesota FC last night 2-1. Diego Fagundes got his 7th goal of the year for the Revs. They'll be right back to work Saturday night in New York against the Red Bulls. There was a baseball trade today. Indians acquiring Padres closer Brad Hand. That according to Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. And the Red Sox back to work tomorrow night when they open up a 3-game set against the Tigers in Detroit. Headlines are brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did and start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. 866-77-LASER. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Son of a handyman.
The only boy who could ever
teach me? The son of a happy man.
Who can take a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you.
The happy man.
The happy man.
The happy man. The son of a happy man. The son of a happy man.
Bob Sophie joins us now. Not the son of a handyman, but the voice of your New England Patriots here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let me correct you. I am the son of a handyman.
You're going to have to...
I thought you were talking about...
Broadcast professional. Get on that mic,
everybody. That clip that we may have edited into a couple of songs there, I can't remember. Were you talking about a player? Were you talking about yourself?
I have no idea when I utter those words to my, you know, everlasting regret.
Okay.
But it's awesome being in this studio.
This is a nice new studio.
Wow.
Nice new studio.
It's good to see you. It means that's close to football.
Yeah, it is. I picked the wrong day, though. I thought you guys were doing simulcasting. But it's not until
Monday.
Next week.
Monday.
We're working on it here, yeah. So we're kind of doing a dry run through.
Okay, so mid-segment, you were coming in and you were trying to talk to it. You were showing me something you had written down in your little planner about Zoe is now rolling up the sleeves of his T-shirt as we are doing the dry run on the simulcast. And he looks like Bowser from Sha Na Na, making his muscles.
Our Aunt Edna.
The notes you were showing me had to do with the... And by the way, before you called games for the Patriots, you called games for the Naval Academy.
Yes.
You
were
Navy, beat Army.
Right? And so you spoke with, I'm guessing, maybe more military personnel on a regular basis than the coach down in North Carolina did. And you have a lot of history with the military. What was the point you were going
to
make?
Well, I was going to say, look, I talked to a lot of people, obviously, who played football at Navy since I called their games for 16 years. And, you know, many of them would relate experiences on a football field with a football team to what they were going to face and experience in the military. And even in retrospect, talked about a lot of the lessons in teamwork and, you know, pushing through challenges, et cetera, and how that helped prepare them for their military careers. But that being said, during my time, and I think it's expanded since then, there were 33 intercollegiate athletic teams at the Naval Academy.
Oh.
And anyone else among the 4,000 midshipmen who didn't participate on a varsity intercollegiate team had to participate in intramurals. And more teams than not were women's sports teams. And so you had football players who went to the Marine Corps and served honorably in the Navy. But you also had track and field athletes, you had wrestlers, you had tennis players, you had golfers, you had rowers, and you had many who didn't play intercollegiate athletics and may have played intramural sports, perhaps flag football, or, you know, been on the sailing team.
How about Alt,
who went on to serve just as admirably and honorably? So I think Larry Fedora, first of all, it's with great disappointment when I heard his comments, because I was at the University of North Carolina for a year before I got into broadcasting. I spent a year in the sports information office.
My sister's a graduate from UNC.
When Dean Smith,
one of the prettiest places I've ever been.
It's beautiful.
The basketball coach. And there was a guy that, you know, was an instrument for social change, sat down at a lunch counter to help integrate Chapel Hill and made so many things that, you know, people there still revere on that campus and are proud of. And then a guy like Larry Fedora, yeah, I think speaks out of you-know-what. I was asinine.
Out of his ass.
He's a jackass.
You'd say his ass.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, when it comes to CTE and...
Tell you what, they'll be ready at kickoff.
In the military, this is not to disrespect, you know, your previous caller from the military, but also it's interesting to know, and I've spoken actually on the air during a Navy broadcast with none other than Admiral Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about this. The military and the NFL have a partnership, and they're working together to try to curb head injuries and the effects of head injuries. So both are well aware of it. And to me, I understand why a lot of people are concerned about some of the rules that the NFL has put in place and college football has put in place. But I think the reasoning behind it, trying to diminish these life-altering and, let's face it, life-shortening head injuries that, you know, so many have been afflicted with. I can't fault the motivation there.
No, I can't fault the motivation. I also, I can't understand the people who are unwilling to see
Yeah, I mean,
well, he's like, how dare they use data, real data, which is scientific. I mean, they do head studies, and we get the MRIs, you get the CT, you get the CAT scans. We could see your brain. We could see a change.
Is there anything that can be done to prevent guys like Junior Seau from getting to the point where he just can't take it anymore and he takes his own life?
Yeah,
is
I do.
Is there right? What's the problem, Larry? What's your issue?
You need to change it. As we talk about changes in baseball, how are you going to change a game of baseball? It's generational. You just can't go out there and ask these guys that are playing now, hey, we're going to throw a pitch clock on. You raised me on baseball this certain way. I don't want changes. It's got to start at a young age.
Right.
I think at a young age, our kids nowadays, we understand now that, okay, if I get my bell rung, and I got my bell rung in practice, we would have 5-9-on-7, and they'd come in and they'd hit you, and you couldn't hear out of one side of your head, and something's not right. You would just continue to go in there and play. That happens now. And we've seen it with Nate Solder a million times. He gets dinged, boom, they take him away right away.
Hmm.
Where guys like Ted Johnson, Teddy's talked about it, it's job security. I get my bell rung, I'm still back in there. You don't do that anymore.
Yeah, Larry.
It's going to take generations to change that and how we really act and react to it until the game changes.
Guys like Larry Fedora don't want to change the way they coach. They think it's somehow right. Going to weaken this country. I, however, don't want guys like Junior Seau to kill themselves.
Yeah, so, I think that's a fair asking.
So am I coming from some moral high ground?
No.
No, I'm coming from...
It breaks my heart that I play with Kevin Turner and he couldn't even feed himself at the end of his life because he can't even move his hands. It's crushing.
You think the country is stronger though because he went through all that and that's happened to him.
It's where he's lost his mind a little bit.
Yeah, he's lost his mind on all of it.
We're all getting caught.
All of it.
Okay. I don't want to get.
Less talk. Everybody, less talk, more action. Okay.
And I don't want to get into other affairs outside of sports. But
that's good.
There's enough to concern me about the future of society, let alone our country.
I'm telling
without
you,
the demise.
I agree. Those bike lanes are an absolute travesty in this city. But we don't have time to get into that now. Is that what you were talking about? The bike lanes?
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, and I think his big thing too, and maybe people are coming to him, as a coach, saying, "Hey, man, there's this drastic drop in the number of kids signing up to play kids football," and that's the change, and that's why I think some of these coaches are lashing out and trying to get after it. Okay. That's all to the defense of football.
We got a bunch.
He's a little wacky.
Bob Soucy.
Thanks, Bob. Yes.
Pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
I'll see you next week, pal. Can't wait.
We got a bunch of calls here. We're going to get to here.
We're going to
take these calls. We're going to do that. We're going to see what Danny Amendola had to say to Casey Smith and Johnny Manziel. Do you know that's a Johnny Manziel podcast that he does?
He's
with
on
Casey
Barstool.
Smith?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, on the comeback season SZN.
He had a good one about
Sierra Zulu November.
The last one they did, they talked about the infamous picture where he and it was, I think, Cliff Clingsbury came on and talked to them. It wasn't actually Manziel, but he talked about how we knew. We had to kind of fool the coaches because we knew Johnny was so hungover, and they ended up going to Alabama that day after, and he had one of the best games of his life. It was the infamous picture where he was blowing the fire, and he was taking pictures of all those girls when he was at Texas A&M, and they knew it, and they had a system on how to protect Johnny because he was going to be so hungover the next day. It's a pretty damn good podcast.
Okay, we're gonna get to that here in just a little while on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Beetle.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can touch 35.
What is this, Thursday? Is today Thursday?
Thursday.
Messed up week.
It's a weird week.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Get to your calls here on the football being under attack. A lot of people on hold here for a bit. We appreciate your patience. Starting with Derek in Amherst, New Hampshire. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, man?
So here's the thing. You can't defend Larry Fedora and his ridiculousness, twisting of bringing, the downfall of the country into this discussion. You can't defend that. But I think what you can defend, though, is there are definitely measures being taken to improve the overall safety of the game and trying to minimize, the consequences of bad things happening. The challenge that I have, Hardy, with what you said in Rest His Soul, Junior Seau, we don't know for sure that that's the reason why he ended up doing what he did, right? Like, we don't know that. Like, there could have been other things.
Don't forget, he drove a car off a cliff out in San Diego and attempted to take his life at another point, too, prior to that.
Right. Right, but I guess what I'm saying, though, is God rest his soul, but the reality is we don't know that is a definite byproduct of him playing football, right?
I think people that. Have the pressure. I mean, that then it goes down a topic of, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a psychiatrist, but he was obviously suffering from depression. He's talked about that. Remember when he retired from the Dolphins and he had that big speech, I am graduating.
Wait, Junior Seau. Hold on a second. I'm confused here. Junior Seau's, his wife or his whoever, his widow, said, yes, he had CTE.
Yeah.
What,
Aaron Hernandez's fiance said he has CTE.
And you're saying we don't know that was caused from football?
Jose Baez says he has CTE.
Was he wearing his hat too tight?
No, Hardy. What I'm saying is, I'm not arguing that he had CTE.
That actually caused him to take his life.
Exactly.
What part of CTE kicks in the makes you really go down that depression road?
Everybody has gone through an untimely death and taken their own life or suffered something like this, and they go and do the test and find out they had CTE. I mean, that's why they do scientific studies. There's a control. There's people who don't suffer chronic head injuries throughout their professional adult life and in their formative years, and they don't have CTE. And there are people who do engage in these activities who do end up with CTE. And the people who end up going through these depressed states and relying on drugs and self-medicating and everything else, and many of whom tragically end up taking their own lives, yes, they have CTE. I mean, what other connection needs to be made?
Well, Hardy, the reverse to that argument is you're basically saying then that every single person that takes their own life has CTE.
No, I'm not.
There are not.
No,
people.
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
There are
people who suffer from depression. It has nothing to do with CTE.
I've never played a sport, right?
But if CTE ends up being determined as being a cause of depression, and not everybody who plays football will get CTE. Not everybody who gets CTE becomes depressed. But if a large number of players who suffer from these symptoms, and like Zoe's friend, I don't know how depressed he is. I don't know if he's going to take his own life. He's got all kinds of medical issues going on right now directly related to CTE.
Your buddy's now with Ted Johnson, too, and you see Ted. And there's times you'll see Ted, and Ted's in a great space in life where he's taking care of himself. Then there's times you'll see Ted where he's gone down a dark road, and it's a roller coaster for him. It's back and forth. And I've talked to him a week ago, and he's really in a good place right now, really good shape. He was up here for a card show. Beetle even saw him, and he's in fantastic shape. Seems to have everything trending in the right direction. But there are times where, boom, you could just go right back down that road and it kicks in. Kevin Turner didn't have depression. His body failed him. His body failed him. So there's two guys I directly played with. Then there's thousands of guys I played with who have had no issues from playing a game.
I don't know what happens. You want me to say.
It's unfortunate.
No, you're right. CTE is not the only thing that will cause someone to take their own life.
You covered yourself there.
Yeah. Yes. Does that mean we should stop looking into preventing CTE and trying to treat it for guys who are already past the point of being able to stop it?
I played it, knock on wood. Hopefully I don't have it, or I may have it already and I don't know that, or I won't develop it any further. But I know my kid's going to play the sport, but I want the sport to be as safe as it can be and be as preventative of this thing as he continues to play it.
It's just so petty and short-sighted. All is a means to what? To push the kickoff back to the 20. You know, it's like, is that worth it?
You're taking one car wreck out of the game. It's a 17-second play that you're taking out of the game. But then the Patriots, you know what they do? They pooch kick it down to the goal line. You're still going to have to return it.
I'm not asking everyone to turn into a chicken little worry wart, wring your hands. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Have a little bit of empathy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Just take the long view just for a second. Say, you know what? This could help.
I agree.
Let's try it.
I'm Captain Meathead, and I understand that.
And guess what? For a $9 billion industry, if it ruins the game, don't worry. They'll roll it back. You'll be fine. You'll still get to watch your football on Sunday.
Oh.
Frank in the car.
Hi, Frank.
This is something that Zoe has wanted to talk about ever since he saw it pop up on the call screen here. What do you got?
Yes.
Yes.
All this CT talk is depressing. But
I think that makes you go into depression is when you get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. That was a quick thumbs up.
What do you got, Frank?
Jimmy G, I can't believe you guys haven't talked about it yet. I miss the kid. It was great having the backup lined up, ready to go after Brady. I miss him dearly.
Oh, they have Hoyer.
Have you guys seen where he took this took a porn star out to dinner last night in L.A.
Everybody's got to eat, Frank. Living.
Yeah, her name is Kiara Mia, I believe is her name.
Yep.
I'm sure that's not her real name.
Nope, not a real man.
It's like Tanya Cocoa Butter.
On a dinner date last night, they went to the
Sierra Misty.
They went to the Avra restaurant in Beverly Hills. They walked arm in arm. They toasted wine together at the dinner table. At the end of the date, two walked to a waiting car together. She made a big smile on his face.
I bet he did.
And Kiara's, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly.
Did they get into a Kiara? Or was it a tiara? Did she have on a tiara?
Not sure on either one of those counts.
Did they drive the car?
And her Instagram account had a picture of her posing and saying, Zoe's coming over here to look. Date night, says the caption.
I would not put him with her.
And
based on who he has dated, this is out of the norm of James.
And I
guess could be friends.
People do know her from the Keeping Up with the Kardashians spoof back in 2015.
She looks like Kim Kardashian.
She's been on the covers of such films as Cougars Gone Wild 2 and Bra Busters 4. She's also been nominated.
How do you break a bra?
Nominated for AVN Awards, the Adult Video News Awards, including MILF Performer of the Year in 2015.
Okay, we get the picture. Thank you.
What? I'm reading a news article.
Description.
Did you have any other comments on this, Frank?
Just at the end of the night, you're missing the. She put up an IG, an Instagram story, and it said something like, "You know, it's on when the hair goes up in the scrunchie." So I'm just happy.
Oh.
Jimmy G, locker room guy. I miss him.
Right, okay, thank you, Frank.
I mean, it kind of reminds you of Gronk, right?
Outkick his coverage. Look at her. It's beautiful.
What do you mean he outkicked his coverage? Have you seen who he's been with prior to this?
He's a good-looking guy, don't get me wrong. But
Jimmy's hot as hell.
She's gorgeous.
He is hot as hell. Okay?
He's a good-looking dude.
I told you, I'd never been in a room, in a production room, when Brady comes in and this kid came in. The olive skin, I mean, it's like Aladdin. Like, you're down at Disney and one of the characters just walked in, man. Oh! Everybody's like, was he talking? Is he saying something? His teeth are so white.
No body shaming, Jimmy G?
Nope. Yeah. We got to get to the Brady body shaming that's been going on, especially on a 2-6 show. Not Felger. Felger coming to the defense of Brady.
We will. And we're going to talk.
Mr. Perfect Body, Tony Maserati, being critical of the one Tom Brady.
We're going to talk next about another guy who's dated some very good-looking women in his life, Danny Amendola.
Ooh.
Sat down with Casey Smith and
Olivia Culpa, on a
Barstool Sports podcast. And we got a bunch of that to share with you after Sarge's Hub headlines here, 90 seconds, no commercials.